Hello, Rebels. Before we kick off today's episode, let me ask you a question. What if we could help you unlock your marketing superpowers in one day or less? Actually, to be precise, I mean 3 hours. Yes, you heard it right. What I'm asking you is 3 hours of your time to join us for a brand new intensive experience, our marketing deep dive. One day masterclass that will help you create marketing strategies that capture hearts and mind. And every single masterclass is going to dive deep into one of our favorite topics of marketing. Maybe that email marketing, hiring, or even automations and beyond. If you want to get the fast track ticket to become irresistible, then I'll suggest you check out our upcoming marketing deep dive, where you're going to get 2 hours of hands-on training with lots of exercises and practical group work as well. Plus, 1 hour bonus office hours and Q&A. Oh, and we also have a personalized dashboard and bonus templates to help you apply what you learn in our 3 hours. And just to put a little bow on it, you also get a certificate of completion to show off wherever you fancy. If you'd like to find out what is coming up next and which one is our next marketing deep dive, all you have to do is go to amschool.click/masterclass. There you'll be able to find our schedule with our upcoming masterclass for you to join. On with today's show. Hi, marketing rebels. What if you could have a stunning website tailored to your unique brand, all created in mere seconds? Sounds like a dream, right? Well, WeAllSingers AI website builder is actually a reality. I give it a whirl because you know me. And honestly, I was blown away. Just answer 3 simple questions and voila, your website, complete with copy and images, springs to life. And the best part? You can tweak it to perfection with a drag and drop editor. No coding, no fuss. Imagine unleashing your brand's potential with a website that's not only stunning, but also SEO friendly. Plus, with WeAllSingers AI tools, you can even predict visitor behavior, the closest thing to a crystal ball for your business. Ready to revolutionize your online presence? Head over to WeAllSingers.com/AMS to use the code AMS for 10% off your order and a free domain name. Your dream website is just a few clicks away. On with today's class. Hey, marketing rebels, it's Fab here, your marketing BFF and head teacher at Alt Marketing School, a modern school teaching you how to market to hearts. We're back again with Class in Session, where we bring you insights from top marketing experts who want to make marketing more human. And we have a top marketer indeed from our 2024 Top Marketers list of Alt Marketing School, which you can access as a reminder at amschool.click/top. You can access our brand new list at amschool.click/top. And there you can also find both a summary of this amazing conversation and also another exclusive feature interview with the fantastic Sonia Thompson. Yes, indeed, we are going to be talking about all things marketing from a perspective of making marketing more wholesome for marketers, setting the right expectations, being honest online, showing the real struggles and victories and lessons that you can learn as a marketer wants to grow, whether it's an agency, whether it's as a freelancer. Thomasin is amazing because, yeah, she's not going to spare anything. She's going to be honest. She's going to bring all the good thing. And if you don't know her, she is a social media strategist and owner of 26 Digital, a digital agency specializing in product-based businesses and memberships across various industries. She also has almost a decade of experience in social media. And she brings a background in multinationals and deep understanding of the challenges and successes involved in building an online presence. And what I love about Tommy is that she openly shares her own journey to inspire and guide others, emphasizing that social media can play a crucial role in business growth. But also she acknowledges the potential negative effects of excessive consumption. In fact, in our conversation, she provides guidance on finding a balance between leveraging social for growth, but also maintaining a healthy relationship with technology. to expect lots of debunking, misconceptions, myths, all the things. I hope you're excited. I truly am. It was such a pleasure to catch up with Tomi for our top marketers. This is exactly why we had this interview, because she's featured. And so I wanted to experience the same ha-has and laughter that we did as well. It was such a pleasure to connect with her. I hope you're going to enjoy this. And as always, may today's class begin. Hey, Marketing Rebels, it's Fab here, your marketing BFF and head teacher at Old Marketing School. I'm out in school teaching you how to market to hearts. And today is a special class in session because we're bringing one of our top 100s of 2024. You might even have seen her at the very forefront of it. I am so excited and I'm fangirling a bit, which I didn't mention to Sonia before we started, but I probably mentioned in between my emails. With the lovely Sonia Thompson. Sonia, thank you so much for being here with me today.
Oh, thanks so much for inviting me. It's such a pleasure.
And actually, what I love about these type of conversations is that it allows me or allows us to reflect on like changes and shifts. Obviously, when we talk in general on the podcast and in general, when I chat with amazing people like yourselves, it's all about making marketing more impactful, more human and more fun. So within that, we have the accessible piece, the inclusive piece, and all the other things also that I think are important for marketers as well as for our audience. But I love the idea also sometimes of stopping and reflecting on the shifts and the changes when it comes to marketing. And I genuinely find that that's a lot of the things that we don't talk about enough, especially when it comes to, you know, the inclusive sphere and the element as well. And within that, just in case people don't know exactly who you are and what you do, I wanted to ask you, based on also your personal journey and how that actually has influenced your professional path, can you just explain and tell us a bit more about, you know, your own experiences and that background that shaped the way that now you show up and you talk about inclusive marketing within your brand?
Sure, sure. So I've been a marketer of 20 years now, right? I've been a marketer, got my MBA, you know, spent a good amount of time in corporate. And I've been out on my own as a business owner for 12 years or going on 12 years now. And I am someone with a lot of differences. I'm a Black woman. I follow gluten-free diet for health reasons. I'm left-handed. I lived in Argentina for a little while. That's where I met and married my Argentine husband. We had our mixed race, mixed cultural, bilingual child in Argentina. And then a couple of years ago, we relocated to where I grew up in Florida. So now I am experiencing the world through the eyes of my immigrant husband, who is still working on his English, right? So it's just a lot of differences or, you know, things that aren't quote unquote part of the mainstream is my life, right? And so I experience every day as a consumer what it's like to have these differences in one way, shape, or another. And unfortunately, for many years, I have felt frustrated as a consumer because brands don't always do the best job of catering or serving people who don't fit into that quote unquote what's considered to be mainstream. Now, the good news is more and more brands are starting to get it that we are all different, right? Like differences are normal. Differences are just a part of life, right? And as they're recognizing that these differences exist, they are now starting to get better at incorporating that into the product, services, and experiences that they are delivering to deliver better experiences overall for more of the people who have the problem that they solve. So we're making progress. Still lots of work to be done, but progress is being made.
You know, well, this reminds me of a quote that I read from you, which I actually wrote down because it really spoke to the way that we talk about within the school, the understanding and refining who your audience is and understanding their needs. So within the audience research and quote-unquote personas, which that's a whole conversation in itself. But I love that you wrote that when brands say, I see you to customers,
were used to not being seen by the masses, the ripple effect or the impact goes beyond the swipe of their credit card. Yeah. And I think that's really interesting because that's, to me, what marketing should be about. It should be about connections and relationships. It should be about direction, not necessarily persuasion or pushing, but it's actually about learning how to connect and how to build relationships with the people that need your help. And I don't see people talking about enough how inclusive marketing can impact a brand's broader audience and not just your current audience. And I love that that's some of the things that you do. So how do you think that happens? Where does that quote come from? Because I think it's really powerful. And that shift in mindset, I feel, still needs to happen in a lot more conversations, you know?
Yeah. So I think that people who are from underrepresented and underserved communities, we are accustomed to being ignored, right? We're accustomed to being ignored by brands. So whenever we come across a brand that does take the time to see us, we are excited, we are loyal, and we will generally go above and beyond to support that brand who has taken the time to intentionally see us and serve us. So for example, like I mentioned, I follow a gluten-free diet for health reasons. My sister does as well. I saw someone mention a new gluten-free bakery that was somewhere in Tampa. And I snapped a screenshot and I sent it to my sister and we're like, field trip? And so you know, she's like, yeah. So we drove 45 minutes to go check this place out. We paid like $8 for a cupcake. Ultimately, it wasn't the best. You know, we don't really need to go back, but it doesn't matter. Like, we spent an afternoon and made an afternoon of it to go and check this place out because there are so few places that cater to people who are gluten-free. And this is like they were catering to us 100%. Now, the places that do, we always go over and over and over and over again. And we're constantly sending messages like, oh, I came across this, I came across that, and finding ways to make sure that we're supporting. I wrote about something yesterday with Sprinkles Bakery here in the U.S. And Sprinkles Bakery, I already love Sprinkles Bakery because they provide the most delicious gluten-free red velvet cupcakes. Like they taste like the real thing. I absolutely love them. So that aside, over the weekend, I was talking to my neighbor, and my neighbors are from Puerto Rico. They were asking me about coquito, and coquito is a drink that is very much part of holiday tradition in Puerto Rican culture. So they were asking us if me and my husband drank because they were going to like share some coquito with us. So we don't. So, you know, we didn't get past that part, but they were just kind of explaining it. I thought it was super cool. That was Saturday. On Monday, I got an email from Sprinkles Bakery talking about it's coquito o'clock, right? They have produced these limited edition coquito cupcakes because they know that I think the headline was like from Puerto Rico with love, right? They understand that they've got a customer base who have Puerto Rican descent or Puerto Rican culture, and they want to acknowledge them, see them. And, you know, again, I'm not Puerto Rican, but what did I want to do? I called my husband. Should we be buying some coquito cupcakes for our neighbor? He's got a lot of coworkers who are Puerto Rican as well. Some of his buddies. I'm like, do you want to like have something special and like get some, I can order some cupcakes for you and your coworkers. And it's just one of those things like I wanted to support and I wanted to bring this. And it's one of those ways that the more brands start to serve people from these communities, they will recognize just how loyal they are and what brand doesn't want loyal customers. And then second, the more brands are starting to be inclusive, they will soon find out that the benefits aren't just with the people who are from these underrepresented and underserved communities that they're serving. They will also get the benefit of the spillover effect of people who appreciate them being inclusive of people that they love and they care about and want to spend time with. One other quick thing, in certain categories, brands are also learning that the niche consumer or the person from underrepresented communities is the lead consumer. So whenever we go out to dinner, me and my sister, or even just me, right? Whenever we go out to dinner with a group, we don't go places where she and I can't eat well, right? So we went to we had a big family dinner a couple of years last year, and the only restaurants that were, we were the only, there was 14 of us and two of us were gluten-free. And the group of 14 only went where we could go. So it pays from a brand perspective to cater to people who have differences. And of course, we all have differences of some sort.
I love that because it goes back to a timeless principle, which is like being helpful.
Yeah.
And serving first. And
yeah,
I genuinely find that, shout out, I don't talk about her enough, but my best friend Hannah, shout out because she is celiac. And so whenever we go out for food as well, it's really interesting to see because obviously we always have to check and look at and see how, as you say, the experiences are different. So I'm just going to reiterate that point because I love it so much. You can see, especially now that our consumers and our audiences, not just ourselves because we're passionate about obviously the topic from our marketing perspective, but also the consumer is more aware of what feels like is a bit of an afterthought or is not really kind of thought as an experience. And so whenever we go to a restaurant or even just to eat out, we can see that, you know, where she feels confident and safe as well, because it's not a great experience for her to get cross-contamination.
Right.
To actually go, as I'm sure you will know, to actually go to a restaurant or a place where she feels like they take the time and they actually put it as part of the experience. And it's not, you know, everybody else and the gluten-free. It's just everybody and that's within that. I don't know if I'm making sense, but I genuinely see it from her lenses, what she looks for and how she's treated and the little things that she can do to feel more reassured, you know?
Right, because it's about belonging. And I say this over and over again, business is about belonging. No one wants to feel othered, right? Like, so it's kind of like sometimes brands will cater to people who from different communities, but it very much feels like an afterthought. Like, oh, okay, yeah, we'll put this website in Spanish. Okay, yeah. We'll like mark one thing on the menu that's gluten-free, right? Like, you know what I mean? And you can tell the difference because of how it makes us feel and whether we feel important or we feel normal, right? Like, we want to be able to have that experience. And it's just so much better the reaction when someone has taken the time to deliver experience that not only makes us feel seen, but makes us feel like we are included and we're part of the process, not like a burden because of what makes us different.
I absolutely love that. And I'm going to go a bit deeper into this topic, mainly because, just for context, we have conversations with our students. It's a big part of all the courses that we teach, especially in lab course, to introduce and start to see what they want to know and how they're feeling in this journey when it comes to also understanding how to apply everything that is inclusive marketing, if you want to use obviously as a word. All marketing should be inclusive, everybody, but I know that that's we're not there yet. But especially when it comes to audiences, and one of the things that we have to talk about a lot, and I'm sure you have it with brands as well and company, is, but what if I make a mistake? What if I'm trying to actually bring that belonging piece? What if I'm trying to make people feel more included in the conversation and make a mistake? What I personally say, and I would love to hear your opinion, because I'm sure there are lots of people that might have the same question, and sometimes it's a bit of a block as well. I say, well, you make a mistake or you say something and you say in a way and you learn from it. Like, if you don't make that mistake, if you don't at least try and you don't make the effort, you're never going to learn whether you do want to make a difference or a change, whether that was right or whether you have to adjust it and learn from it. And obviously then that's how I personally see it, and be right or wrong. But obviously when it comes to that perspective, that's the first thing that I say, is that it's okay because at least you're trying. And then if you learn from it, then it doesn't become a mistake. It becomes a stepping stone.
Yeah. Mistakes are part of the learning process, right? I am fluent in Spanish right now. Spanish is my second language. I speak Spanish every single day, and every single day I make mistakes, right? But I never would have gotten to the place of being fluent in Spanish, I never would have married my husband, right? Like, I never would have gotten to that place if I hadn't given myself permission to make mistakes. So it's not like we're just going out there and making mistakes everywhere. That's not the intention. The intention is to go out there and put your best effort and learn what you can so that you don't make them. But knowing that making them isn't the end of the world. And if you have a relationship with the people who you're trying to serve and you make a mistake, they will know your heart and they will know that they can correct you or say, hey, you know what? You can say, you can do it this way, or you know what? Next time, this will make it better. And that way you're learning and you're growing together. So the key is receive that feedback and incorporate that into what you're doing moving forward so they don't have to correct you in the same thing over and over again. But mistakes are a part of it. And if you just get comfortable, like don't not get started because you're afraid of making mistakes, because you will never learn in that way and you will never make any progress. So just get comfortable with that's a natural part of the learning process and focus on building those relationships that will make the mistakes less so and more tolerable, I would say.
I'm just going to highlight one thing that you said, even if I love all of it. Thank you so much for actually framing it so well. It's the element of the relationship building, which I think when you put that at the forefront of your marketing, even if you want to go into the strategy, which obviously is quite kind of like foundational building blocks. But again, building that relationship means building trust, which means creating a safe space. And then, as you say, creates that space that is safe for people to feel like they can be heard and they can tell you what they need. But also, yeah. Sometimes I think we forget to think about, I'm thinking about as marketers, we're not a big brand. So I'm thinking about it as individual marketers. We don't realize that actually then it becomes a safe space for us to learn from them. And
yeah.
I think that's a big shift. And that's what I'm hearing from that relationship piece they were talking about, which I love, because then it comes back to humans, which is what it should be about.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think whenever you focus on perfection and you don't build a relationship, it becomes very performative. Like I'm putting on a show and it has to be absolutely perfect so that you will see me and that you will love me and then you will come and buy my stuff. That's not what will win the hearts and the minds of the people that you serve. They need you to build a relationship, not to perform for them, to say, look how inclusive I am. They need you to like show up, treat them like friends, and give them what it is that they need from you. What they need isn't a performance. What they need isn't perfection. They need caring. They need belonging. They need, you know, you to actually care about and support their communities.
Absolutely love that. And I'm actually going to reiterate this by going a bit deeper into the question. So we're talking then about, as we say, the difference between the authentic piece and then like the performative piece. And I'm kind of wondering, teacher hat goes on, from a practical perspective, like let's say you go to some brands that you support them actually in the company as you, and what we like as well, obviously we think about maybe when we don't know if we're doing it yet or we don't know what we can do to do it better. Is there anything that you think is a great first place to start when it comes to a practical perspective, if you know what I mean, like one action that they can take? Whether it doesn't even have to be their reaching out, maybe it's just that reviewing or auditing what they're doing. What would be the first thing? I think I know there's plenty of steps, but I just want to give people that little first step to know that then they can get started and then obviously seek out the knowledge, help, support that they need.
So ultimately, I would say the first step really should be making sure that you're incorporating some form of diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging into your values. Nobody wants to hear this, but the values is what will make it stick. If it's not a part of your values and the way that you operate and part of your core, whenever something pops up, you will quickly revert back to the way you've always done things. So that's why having it part of your values is key. Once you have that, and if you're like, oh, values, whatever, like, you know, the next place to go is really focusing on choosing who it is that you want to serve. Inclusive marketing does not mean that you need to serve everybody. There's so many dimensions of diversity, so many points of difference. There are some brands who that is their aspiration. That's what they aspire to be. Brands like, you know, Rihanna's brands, Fenty Beauty, Savage X Fenty, Fenty Skin. But they also have resources and budget to be able to do that. And they play in a space where that it's a little bit easier to do those types of things. That's not the expectation. And it's definitely not the expectation if you're a smaller brand or a company, right? So the idea is really to choose which of the identities that you want to absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt, feel like they belong with you, right? Let's go back to Sprinkles Bakery, for instance. They don't specialize in gluten-free cupcakes. They've got all these different types of cupcakes, but they've got two flavors of gluten-free cupcake. I always get the red velvet because it's just the best, right? They've got a gluten-free cupcake, they've got a vegan cupcake, and they've got a sugar-free cupcake. All of their cupcakes aren't available, but like we have one option, right? Or maybe two options for people who are those things. Now, there are other dietary restrictions that people have, right? Like there are people who can't do dairy. There are people who follow keto. There are people who are allergic to nuts. Like they haven't decided that we're going to play there. The people that we're serving are people who just can eat cupcakes, no, without dietary restrictions. And then we're going to go to people who are gluten-free, give them an option. People who are vegan, give them an option. People who are sugar-free. Very simple, very specific. They've made a choice and they're going forward with that choice, right? And that's okay. Whether I remember I have a friend who lives in Montreal and was starting a podcast. My friend speaks French and English. The national language in, I think, Quebec, where he lives, is both French and English, right? But his podcast, he was starting it in English. He was only doing it in English. Why? He only had the resources to make a podcast available in English. Maybe eventually he'll make it available in English and French, but, you know, that was his starting point, right? Eventually, I will get to a place where my content will be available in English and Spanish. Right now, it's only in English, but my aspiration is to get there. You have to start choosing what are the specific identities that you want to make sure feel like they belong with you, and then infuse those identities and incorporate them into your marketing and your customer experience. Now, that doesn't mean that choosing means that other people aren't welcome. That doesn't mean that. Of course they are, right? Unless you're specifically saying, I will not serve this group of people. But once you choose, you can then focus on making sure that those people feel seen. And a lot of times, whenever you are catering to people from underrepresented and underserved communities, people who are from dominant groups don't feel left out, right? So it's not like they're just going to be like, oh, this isn't for me. No, they're gonna feel fine about it, and they're going to continue to come and serve and buy from you if, you know, what it is that you're offering serves a need for them. So choose. That's really where a lot of people fall short and they get into trouble. And because they're not intentional about choosing, they end up excluding a lot of people.
I love the element within that, then the aspirational piece, which I think can be also a great place to start if you are a small brand, if you don't have the resources and you, as you say, you choose and then you also know that you aspire to then expand. It helps you understanding that as well. It's just kind of giving ourselves that grace, going back to, you know, that safe space and relationships and stuff.
Yeah.
And I want to say I was kind of doing a little dance every so often, very slow dance. Because you mentioned actually values, which is one of the forefronts of what we teach and what we talk about. And one of my pet peeves, so to speak, is that values, if they're not actionable, both from a marketing perspective, but also internally, like the things that we don't see, that we don't need to see, but that we, you know, you do because you want to really live and uplive your values. It's so important. And I love that you gave us, because that's a big problem for our students and sometimes also our listeners, is how can we then take these values and use them like in an actionable way and remind that they can drive us and they're part of everything? Because you say, we all love the idea of values, but it's not just about having them on your wall. If you have it on your wall, even on your website, if you have it on the website, there's so many ways that they can actually inform everything you do. And you give us yet another way, which maybe some people haven't thought of, to actually kind of use it to root it into then that stage of actually kind of doing that more authentic way of bringing that belonging. So thank you for that.
Certainly.
Now I have a question for you about something you have learned. Fellow podcast host, great podcast, by the way, just in case you remind us at the end as well. So for Inclusion and Marketing Podcast, I'm sure you talk to a lot of guests and I learned so much from my guests. I love that. I think the best teachers, in inverted commas, even if I shall call myself such, are also, you know, great students and always want to learn. So I was wondering, I'm going to go with recently, but maybe there's something that really jumped out at you from episode one. But is there a key lesson or something that you learned from your conversations with your guests? Is that one thing that really jumped out at you that they shared, whether it's their own experience, whether it's something that they have done that really stood out to you as a key lesson or learning for yourself?
Yeah. So I did a series of episodes earlier in the year with three women who were all neurodivergent. And we talked about neurodivergence from the perspective of the employee, because it's important to have diverse teams that really impacts marketing from an inclusive standpoint. And then we also talked about neurodiversity from a consumer standpoint and what that means, how it impacts them, and what brands can do to better serve them. One of those women recently, she's publishing a book. And she asked me if I would do like one of the endorsements for her book. And so I read like the first chapter, and it was just one of those things, like it just really opened my eyes and reframed what I thought I knew about neurodivergent people. I don't claim to have known very much at all, but even what I thought I knew, and I think we naturally form opinions about things, or we believe certain things based upon the information that we do have. And from that first chapter in her book and those discussions that I had, it completely reframed the way I thought about neurodivergent people. And I love that. And because we are all different and there really is no normal, right? And so whenever we call one thing normal, that means everything else that doesn't fit into those boxes isn't normal. And we see that that can cause harm to a lot of people. And that's one of the reasons why Unilever, a couple of years ago, the brand, for all of their brands around the world, removed the word normal from all the packaging and advertising for all their promotional, their beauty projects and personal brands, because who defines what is normal? And people were feeling some type of way negatively, you know, if they didn't buy a product that had that label on it. So words matter, but it was just one of those things. It was a reinforcement of there's so many forms of difference. And it's just important to talk to people and understand their perspective and have that openness to be transformed in the way you think about a group of people based once you get more information, right? And spending time with them and developing relationships will really do that for you.
It's so interesting because it goes back to two things that I think are, in my opinion, the foundational blocks of being a great marketer, even if great marketing, so many ways that we can define it. But definitely is the story piece, which obviously when you look at it from a storytelling, but it's also a thing stories can really help us when we are building a relationship, understand people's perspectives by hearing their lived experiences when it comes to whether it's the day-to-day or anything else like that. And also curiosity, which Sonia, I'm an annoyingly curious person. So I would ask the most random question just because I want to know people. I want to know the quirky things because it makes me, you know, it makes you feel that, again, that relatability or maybe, you know, just learning something new. And I think we don't talk about these skills / practices enough, being curious and also, you know, kind of really tapping into stories and like valuing those stories and those experiences. So I love that what you mentioned within that. I was thinking about one of the things that I say to our students all the time, which is don't be afraid to be curious. And that goes from a harder marketing perspective or just learning new things, but also just, you know, you don't know what you don't know until you actually start exploring and you start kind of like going deeper into things. And I didn't know about the Unilever shift, but I absolutely love that because normal never felt right to me, to be honest, as a word. So I, you know, like that's, and I think that's really powerful. Because, as you say, a language student here, I'm a graduate, so, and 5 languages under my belt.
Wow.
Words have power.
They do.
You know, they do. I think that's one of the most powerful things that we can remember. So I love that. That's amazing. Thank you. Do you remember, by the way, the name of the book? Is it out yet? Or is it?
Oh, it's called The Canary Code, but it comes out spring 2024.
Awesome. So whenever you're listening to this, it might be that it's already out. Before we wrap up, thank you so much for all your wisdom. I want to say I could talk 2 hours, but places to be. It's quick fire time. We're just going to slowly wrap up. So I mean, this is really hard. You got to choose one. Maybe two options for each this or that. Ready?
Okay.
Spotify playlist or podcast?
Podcast.
Voice notes or text?
Voice note.
We always have like very strong camps either way. There's some people that are like, I can't do voice notes. And people are like, yep, that's how I run my life.
I love them. The longer, the better.
I love that. It's like one of my friends just, you can see that something has happened because the voice notes goes from 1 minute to 6 minutes. I'm like, oh, yeah. There's some tea to be spilled.
Yeah.
Looking at social, carousels or reels?
Reels.
Interesting. Now, TikTok or YouTube?
I use them for different things, right? Like,
so what's the YouTube mode?
YouTube is like, I want to learn something, right? Like, I'll go and look for a video on a specific topic. TikTok is really entertainment. I learn on TikTok too, but it's like a break in the day. Sometimes I'll watch TikTok while I'm eating my lunch during the day. Like, and you know, you learn, but it's a learning entertainment, you know, it's different.
I love that.
And you get tea on TikTok too. Yeah.
It's always about the tea. Final, last but not least, memes or GIFs?
Memes.
Have you got a favorite meme account or like a type of meme that you go for?
Because No. Yeah.
I started creating folders because I realized I got a section of millennial memes. I'm really like stepping into my millennialness, especially when it comes to music and some of the cool things that I loved as a child. So I'm just going to say that there. So slowly but surely. One final question. Well done on the this and that. I want to hear your party trick. Do you have a party trick? Something really, really cool that you could throw at a party if you had to or if you wanted to.
No, but I will tell you like a fun fact. I do dance. Well, I haven't danced in years now, but like I started with salsa, like salsa, merengue, bachata. And then when I went to Argentina, I fell in love on the first day with Argentine tango. So I dance Argentine tango as well. Now I'm probably quite rusty on all of them. Salsa will be the one that will be easiest for me to like get right back into. But yeah.
Just for pleasure, or you also went to kind of more like a professional level as well and just actually doing some shows and stuff?
For pleasure. I did actually, for a marketing standpoint, I did a mini documentary. I don't know if you ever saw that show on MTV, Made, where like someone would spend. Yeah. So it was like a made version, but for Argentine tango, I was trying to prove a point about like it's important to make people feel something. And Argentine tango was a dance of feeling, right? So anyway, I took 6 weeks of private tango lessons. Over 6 weeks, I took 42 hours of private tango lessons where I learned a choreography. And at the end, I had this recording of this dance. Where I was like trying to like prove this point and become this tango dancer. And so I ended up going through like documenting my journey. So it turned into like this full on hour long documentary.
I'm obsessed with that. I was a sucker for those shows as well. When MTV actually had those shows, I was like, that's amazing. I'm obsessed.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, it was cool.
Well, thank you. And thank you for sharing all your wisdom, and thank you for taking the time to talk to us and for sharing some of your experiences as well. I genuinely think that everything that we can do to ask ourselves some questions and look to learn more, especially when it comes to how to make marketing better for ourselves and our audience, we need to spend some more time on that. SEO is fine. It's great. Social media is fine. It's great. But how can we actually build better relationships? So thank you so, so much.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for having me. It was a lot of fun.
If people want to find out more about you, where should they go?
Inclusion in Marketing. Go to inclusionandmarketing.com. I also have the Inclusion in Marketing podcast. But yeah, if you want to find my writing, my videos, the podcast, Inclusion in Marketing is the place to be. And then you, of course, get on the Inclusion in Marketing newsletter, where each week I send stories, inclusion news, and other tips to help you build an inclusive brand that not only makes a bigger impact with more consumers, but helps you grow your business. So,
which is great. And I'm going to say, I was obsessed with the Star Wars one, so I don't know if it's going to come back. But if you do a comeback, everybody, go and sign up now, because maybe now that I asked for it publicly, that story will make a comeback, because my husband loves Star Wars, and I was obsessed with that. So it was really cute. It was a great story.
I'm so glad you liked it.
So go and check it out. Team, as always, again, today, like any other day, be kind to yourself and others, and remember that true marketing speaks to hearts, not just minds. And until next time, class dismissed.